You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Professor Andre Duvenacher from the Northwest University, as well as Angela Fick, research director at our World Socioeconomic Research Institute, both join us live this morning. Thank you so much for your time. Let me start with you, Angela. One of the listeners says that the opposition politics are built on shaky ground in South Africa. Your thoughts?
Well, that does seem to be evidenced by the remarks that we've seen, particularly from the official opposition, who surely should be the strongest opposition to the African National Congress in government, given that they won governor province, govern several of the metros, and the remarks by Mr. Steenhuisen in public about other opposition parties as smaller fry trying to hone in on the territory of the Democratic Alliance in the Western Cape is an unfortunate thing. But what we've also seen is the kinds of internal spats, not just between parties in that alliance, but inside parties, with disaffected members leaving to establish their own parties, and then lobbing, you know, unpleasantries back into the parties that they've left. And this is not only true of the official opposition, but of other parties as well. And so I think the instability that is remarked upon by your listener is certainly visible to any analyst.
Professor, one of the things that, you know, you look at when it comes to opposition politics are the latest developments. I mean, there's been a lot to be said, but let's, look at what has been said, for example, by the DA leader. How much of a fracture does that cause when it comes to opposition politics, especially when it comes to finding each other? Can we see them drifting further and further apart?
Professor Duvenacher? Very deeply. Good morning. Can you
hear
me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Go ahead.
I must say, starting point, South Africa is a very deeply divided society. And this is reflecting in the political structures and the organizations politically coming from that background. And as a result of that, to bring together these groupings is not that easy. And we do not have a very strong historical tradition of cooperation between and among political parties. In short, coalition politics is a relative new phenomenon with our environment, and that doesn't have a very strong success record if we look at what went on in the metros and in some local municipalities. I do not believe that opposition politics are necessarily weak, but they are definitely deeply divided. But at the moment, and we need to understand the historical context, since about 2019, South African politics underwent a process of what I like to refer to as a tipping point. We see the outplay of this in the violence of 2021 and also in the starting of a political reconfiguration in the 2021 elections, the local elections. And this reconfiguration is currently still going on. It is getting new political momentum. And at the moment, as one of the people said, this is very unpredictable. We have seen a lot of surveys over the past year. The majority of these surveys is indicating an ANC support base below 50%. I think before the MK party was established, an average of 43%. There are room for opposition parties. We have seen since 16 December how the MK party has got huge momentum. One of the surveys indicating that the MK has a national support base of around 13%, and in KZN, it may end up as the strongest single party. So the big question is how this reconfiguration is going to take place. I do not see the Moonshot Pact as a very strong alliance. Our whole electoral system is not making opposition cooperation or any cooperation before elections very binding on the parties. So I'm expecting a lot of reconfiguration to take place, a lot of realignment, and a relative unpredictable scenario. On a macro level, we may see three big alliances that can come from this election as things look at this point in time. I'm still looking at the ANC and the MK party, the ANC and the EFF, the ANC and the Democratic Alliance. If, and that's a supposition, the ANC is getting below 45% nationally. So there's a lot of what can go on in opposition politics and in terms of realignment.
Angelo, you know, in light of all of that, and I'm going to get to this multi-party charter or moonshot pact, as some, you know, are still insisting on calling it. But Angelo, I mean, the DA leader, you know, calling smaller parties popcorn parties that are hell-bent on ushering in corruption. What do you make of all of that?
In elections, people say silly things. So on the one hand, it did surprise me that a party that governs a province, a party that sits as the official opposition in the National Assembly, would have a leader that makes these kinds of silly remarks to, you know, dismiss people's political ambitions, to dismiss what the Constitution suggests is entirely valid and legitimate, which is that people have the right to freedom of association, feels to me like an illiberal position to be held by the leader of a party that very recently in this country's history, 4 or 5 years ago, when the departure of Musi Maimane indicated a shift in the DA, said that they wanted to rededicate themselves to their original liberal principles. And any liberal, you know, would suggest that healthy contestation by all sorts of figures is certainly part of what one would have in a democracy. That said, the DA has also seen a decline in its electoral returns, just like the African National Congress, and far from exploiting the ANC's decline and seeing its growth, the DA does seem to face its own crises about getting re-elected, not just in the Western Cape, but gaining support in areas if it wants to govern South Africa. Now, you know, that moonshot pact is part of that mix, and we've seen these kinds of remarks come from Mr. Steenhuisen before. And this does seem to me to reflect a certain kind of anxiety in the Democratic Alliance about what's going to happen on the 29th of May.
Angelo, do you think, though, the centre will continue to hold then within the multi-party charter?
That's hard to say, because once the voters make their choices on the 29th of May, people who are currently making very unpleasant remarks about one another could very well have to work together in order to form a government. And my sense is that a lot of this is electioneering bluster based on, you know, fear mongering, based on inducing anxiety to get people to vote for them. And so in that sense, it works very much like insurance company ads. Life is horrible at the moment. Come and, you know, put your money in with us and we will make it better. And so this idea of I can't predict what's going to happen from the 1st of June onwards, but my sense is that we will see many, many realignments, precisely because in the end, politicians want power, political parties want power. And as we've seen in the wake of the local government election, and as Ms. Professor Dibenacher indicated, you know, once you see those realignments, people's behavior is shifted by their access to power, not necessarily by the principles that they say they profess in the electioneering campaigns.
Prof, when we come back from the break, I want us to just latch on to what Angelo had to say, because these arrangements that we could see play out, let's say coalition arrangements, are they based on ideals or an axis of power? And given what you've said about this, as you were hinting earlier on when we were discussing it, but let's take a short break. We're back straight after.
Sunday morning discussion on Weekend View.
Well, Israel has had to endure indiscriminate bombing for years from Hamas, which is in Iran's proxy army, as we all know. Now that Israel has had to bomb a building in Iran to kill one of the terrorist commanders, Iran is now retaliating. It comes down to the escalation of the war, which is all unnecessary, because all that has to happen is for the hostages to be returned that were so brutally kidnapped by Iran and Hamas. It's all that needs to happen, but it's not happening. And that is a big cause for concern, Mike Newlands.
And Mike there, TG, saying the retaliation by the Islamic Republic of Iran is not surprising. But I think the airstrikes won't be successful because of the way the US, the UK and Jordan, a country in the region that decided to stand by the infidels and Western criminals. And Tehran must expect more attacks. And it is sad, is a sad situation in the region, has been volatile for a long time, and Moscow called for restraints a few days ago, but this is so sad. And indeed, Zionist criminals have crossed the red line, and Iran and its allies are definitely going to stand by Iran. That's TG there. But Madota saying the tit for tat by Iran can prolong the conflict in the Middle East, and also then weighing in on our discussion, we have seen the failures of coalitions in the municipalities. Parties have different ways, and let's segue back into our conversation with Professor Duvenaga as well as Angelo Fick. Prof, the, you know, just listening to what you've had to say earlier on, and also reading this comment by Matota and what Angelo had to say. So are these arrangements, in your view, based on access to power and resources, or is it also some of them who are getting to bed together based on ideals?
Yes, I agree with Angelo. It is probably a combination of both, but the former is definitely more important than the latter. And I would like to differentiate between alliances and coalitions. In terms of our electoral system, at the moment, coalitions is built on alliance principles. So we are working together with a view on the election and the possibility of cooperation afterwards. Only after the election we will get to a form of coalition. And my assessment is there's more to say for power, for the aspiration of politicians, than there is for ideals, norms, values, policies, and so on. In that sense, I am not sure that many of these pre-election forms of cooperation, and I'm reading the Moonshot Pact into that as well, is going to keep their base after the election. There's a possibility, but it's not necessary going to happen. And we can use an example in KZN. At the moment in KZN, as things look, no two parties can achieve an absolute majority in that province. So you need the cooperation of at least three parties. And this may change the position of, for example, the IFP in terms of its pre-election alignments. So I think that after the election, the election itself will be a game changer for cooperation, and it will be all about power, getting access to structures of power, limited resources, and so on. So the basis of politics is power and not so much policy. And if I can compare that to a rugby team, I will support a certain rugby team despite their strategy on the field. The party and my image of the party and the respective leadership are more important than the policy and the related values.
What does it mean then for stability, Angelo?
Well, we've seen what that means for stability in our metros. We've seen in the city of Johannesburg, in the city of Joni, constant shifts, votes of no confidence, control over the public enterprises attached to municipalities, corruption of services. And so voters have a right to be anxious because they've seen this play out. We've had books written about this. My sense is that there is an unstable period ahead if we do not rein in our politicians and remind them that they serve us and not us them. And that means supporting the structures of state that are there to curb government. The public protector is going to play an important role. The courts are going to play important roles. And civic duty is going to take on a whole new meaning, which is that we do not just behave as citizens once every 5 years at election, but that we keep a watch and participate in the democratic processes to keep politicians from doing at provincial and national level what they seem to have been able to get away with at the municipal level.
And I'm going to ask you, you know, a same question then as we close. In light of what has been said, and starting with you, Angelo, in light of all these challenges and what has been going on, do we then have effective opposition?
Well, it depends on what it is you say we're opposing. My sense is we do not have effective opposition in any of the spaces where people govern, precisely because our politicians have their eyes on goodies, the resources, limited as they may be, available to them once they get into power, rather than, as Professor Devanagari indicated, policy, governance, administration, justice, and the realization of the Constitution.
For you, Prof?
It was only since about 2016 that there was a shift from the nature of opposition politics from within the tripartite alliance to a situation of external competition and conflict. It is definitely gaining momentum. If it is effective, that is another question. But where I agree is that we need to follow democratic processes, democratic values, and it is critical for the consolidation of our democracy that this election is a free and fair election and that people are committed to the outcome of the election. I believe we are going to enter a phase of coalition politics. It's not going to be easy. There is the potential of high levels of instability as we see political change, reconfiguration, and realignment.
And, you know, one then asks the question, so what are we likely to see then unfold before our eyes, especially as you both say, post the election, what becomes some of the arrangements? What becomes some of the conversations? Are they based on ideals? Are they based on power? What exactly are they based on? But thank you so much to both of you for your time. I mean, you think about a lot of conversation that is going to be had here, especially when we're looking at some of these arrangements. Is it an access to resources? Is it access to power? But is it based on the ideals? How then do, the citizens begin then to guarantee stability, but also at the same time, if there's an outright majority for one political party, what does it mean then for effective opposition parties? How do they begin then to, you know, exercise effective oversight? So there's a lot of conversations to be had on this one, especially in the lead up to the elections as well as post the elections on May 29th. That was the politics professor Andre Duvenacher from the Northwest University and Angelo Fick, research director at Awal Socioeconomic Research Institute.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.